This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Letting God Mold Me.
All of us as Christians are going to have to deal with hard times. Amen? Amen? And I said this is such an appropriate day because we've been talking about Romans 8:28, which says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those who are the called according to His purpose. That's what the scripture tells us. Whatever it is that we go through in life, whatever it is that we deal with in life, God is going to use it for good or He won't allow it to come into our lives. You see, what the scripture is telling us is that God filters everything that comes into our lives. If it's not something that He can turn to our good, He won't allow it. But saying all that, we need to be careful about something. You see, that seems to give the impression that what God is really concerned about is making sure that our circumstances will always work out to what we consider to be good. What we have found out in this series of messages is that God is not primarily interested in making sure we always have comfortable circumstances. No, what we found out is this. God will use your circumstances to change you before He will change your circumstances. See, God is more interested in who we are and who He makes us to become than He is in us having circumstances that we like. You know, the Bible always has to be interpreted in context. Many times when we quote Romans 8:28, we just quote that verse. But look at the context. Romans 8:28 has to be understood in the context of verses 29 and 30. Let's read those. Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now catch it. You can't understand Romans 8:28. Except in the context of verses 29 and 30. Yes, God does work together for good to those who love Him. Amen? He works all things together for their good. But to what purpose? For whom He foreknew, He also predestined that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is God's primary purpose for your life, that you will be conformed to the image of Jesus. You will look like Him. See, God is more concerned about what's inside of us than He is concerned about giving us the circumstances that we want to have. Well, we've been saying that His object, His goal, His purpose is that we become like Christ. What does it look like when you become like Christ? Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Start with verse 22. You want to know what Christ's likeness is? Let me give you the quick summary of what a Christ-like person looks like. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, There is no law. Let me tell you something. If you see somebody who is truly becoming Christ-like, what will you see in that person's life? Number one, they'll be marked by love. Amen? You'll know that's a loving person. And understand, we talk about this all the time. Love is not what you feel. What is love? It's what you do. It's the action that you take. In other words, as you become more Christ-like, you're going to treat other people more lovingly. Look around. How many of you could stand for some of these people in the room today to treat you more lovingly? Amen? Now, look at yourself. How many of us could stand to have a little bit more of the love of Jesus operating in our lives and the way we treat somebody else? Amen? You see, as God develops that Christ-like character in us, the love of Jesus is going to start flowing out of us. And then it says, joy. Hallelujah. Joy. Let me just find out here. Did anybody wake up this morning and what was going on in your mind was, oh, I got to get up. Oh, man, oh, man. I wish I didn't even have to get up today. Anybody feel anything like that today? Let me just see. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you that you're here. Praise the Lord. Now, let me be honest with you. There are mornings, there are Sunday mornings, I feel like that. Amen. Can I just digress for a moment and tell you something? There's a story of the son that didn't want to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. And his mom would call him and get on him, son, you got to get up, you got to go. And he said, Mom, I don't want to go down to that church. I don't like it down there, and the people don't like me. I don't want to go. She said, son, you got to go. She said, why do I have to go? They don't like me, I don't like them. He said, son, you're the pastor, you got to go. Amen. Don't you know pastors feel like that sometimes? Amen. Amen. But catch it. Look what it says. Not only love, but what? Joy. As Christ-like character is developed in us, we can walk in joy. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. Amen. But what? Where does joy come from? It comes from inside. Because who's inside of you if you know the Lord? Jesus is living in you. Hallelujah. And so joy comes from inside. You got some joy bubbling up in you all the time, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how you happen to feel when you get up in the morning, you can still get up rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because God is still on his throne. He is still in control. And he has something good that's going to happen in your life today. Amen. So you see, all of these things, love and joy and peace and patience, long suffering. How many of us need more patience with somebody in our lives? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Long suffering, the Bible calls it. Any of you feel like you've been suffering long with somebody? Amen. Yeah. See, as Christ-likeness is developed in us, that quality of patience, godly patience, will be developed. And as we are going to see, there is only one way to develop these qualities of godliness. You've got to be tested. Amen? How do you develop patience? You got to have something to be patient about. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God is in the business of bringing into our lives all of these Christ-like characters. And how does he do it? Go back to Romans chapter 8. Let me read verses 28 and 29 again. Catch this. Here's the important issue that we're really dealing with today. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For, catch that connecting word, because of, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the context of Romans 8:28? That all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. The context is verse 29, which says that his purpose is that we be conformed to his image. So catch it. God is arranging the circumstances of your life in order to conform you to the image of Christ. Whatever He allows to happen in your life is primarily for the purpose that you will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Look at verses 3 and 4. Our series is on making it through hard times. I know that everybody in this place today has had to deal with hard times. Amen? Some of you are dealing with hard times in your life right now. Well, we need to understand something. Hard times are a part of God's plan for molding and shaping us to the image of Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance character, and character hope. God says, when I allow you to go through tribulation, through trials, through tests, through challenges, I do it in order to bring forth godly character within you. One of the things that used to frustrate me no end, I would go to the grocery store. And I'm one of those people, I mean, if you see me in traffic when I'm driving, I'm always trying to get in the fastest lane. You know, if I come up behind somebody that's going slow in my lane, I'm looking. I'm trying to get into the next lane. And this morning on the way over from church, I hate it when this happens. You get two people going slow and they stay side by side so you can't get by them. Hate it. Amen. And I used to go to the grocery store and I would look for the shortest line. You know, and you get out there on a Saturday afternoon and you go try to find the shortest line. You get in that line, what happens? They have to go for a price check, cash pickup, take a break. And you're standing there on the line and you're looking at everybody else. Seems like every other line is going faster than yours. And then you get impatient and you get out of your line, go against somebody else's. What happens? The line you were in starts moving. Isn't that right? Amen. And I used to get frustrated by that. And then it hit me. I began to see that happening over and over again in my life. And I started asking, now, wait a minute, what's happening here? Why is God letting this happen? Maybe God is wanting to deal with some character qualities in my life. Maybe He wants to deal with my impatience. Amen? And you know what I started doing? I'd go get in the line, and I'd see that the other lines were moving, and the line that I was in wasn't moving fast. And instead of getting upset and frustrated and angry, you know what I'd just say? Well, hallelujah, Lord, thank You. You're working on my patience. Praise God. And I'd just start singing a little song or something. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll be sitting in traffic. You know, you get in one of those places where they have construction. Pennsylvania is nothing but construction. Let me tell you that. As a non-native Pennsylvanian, this is the construction state. And you get on the road and they're having construction and traffic is backed up for miles. And you just kind of sit there wasting your gas in the car. Amen. And how many of you get frustrated when that happens? You just get stewed, amen? No. I've learned to just start praising the Lord. Singing a praise song. You know, put on a tape, hallelujah, and just say, Lord, this is Your time. Praise the Lord. You know what was happening? God was taking those situations and He was beginning to work on me. He was beginning to work on my character, on that quality of patience, on that quality of not feeling like I'm the most important person on the road. I got to get where I need to get to. Amen. And as God began to work on me, guess what? I saw that those things no longer fazed me. Amen. Amen. You know what? Even sitting on the highway in a traffic jam, I still can have abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is developing that character in me. See, that's what God is doing. He is taking all of the situations of our lives and molding them and shaping them to produce godly character. Go over to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Here's the key to the whole thing. Here's the example God gives us that tells us what our reality is before Him on a day-by-day basis. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Who is he? He's the potter. And who are we? We are the clay. Now understand, it's no accident that God uses the example of a potter and clay. Think about how pottery is made. You take a bunch, a handful of mud, essentially. Amen? Amen? And you've got to shape that thing into the shape it needs to be. And so how do you shape it? The first thing I see them do is they get it and they're going to mold it. What are you doing? You're putting pressure on it. Isn't that right? To get it into the shape you want it to be. And then sometimes they'll go. Isn't that right? You ever feel like God's doing that to you sometimes? If not God, at least life. Amen. You feel that way. But what's going on? That's how you get it into the shape you want it to be in. Isn't that right? And so you mold it and you shape it. Sometimes you have to shave off part of it. Get it out of the way. Doesn't God have to shave off some things out of our lives sometimes? Amen. And finally, after you have molded it, put the pressure on it, pounded it, shaved it to get it to the shape you want, in order for it to stay in that shape, what do you have to do? Put it in the oven. Hallelujah. Turn the heat up. Because if you don't turn the heat up, it will lose its shape. Isn't that right? What does God have to do in our lives in order to bring forth godly character? Sometimes he's got to put the pressure on. Isn't that right? Allow the pressure to come forth in our lives. And then sometimes, in fact, he'll let us go boom, boom, boom. Now usually, let me be honest with you, usually that's because we're so hard-headed, he can't do it any other way. Isn't that right? Sometimes he has to shave some stuff off. Has God required you to let go of something that you really wanted in your life? Sometimes it's a person, isn't it? Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a priority. I want to have certain things in my life that conflict with what God wants for me. And I got to let go. He's got to shave it off. And then he lets us go through the heat. He lets us go through the fire. He lets us go through the oven. But you know what I love about God? Remember the three Hebrew boys thrown into the fiery furnace? Remember what was said of them when they came out? There was, not only were they not burned, it says there was not even the smell of smoke on their clothing. Hallelujah. Don't we have a great God? Amen. See, we have to go through the fire sometimes. That's the only way that that godly character can be developed in us. We are the clay. He is the potter. And he's got to mold us and to shape us. But when we do, when we allow him to mold us and shape us through the circumstances he allows us to go through. Any of you ever seen a beautiful piece of pottery? Maybe porcelain or something comes out just shiny and beautiful. Some of those things are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Amen? Guess what? The ones that are worth the most went through the greatest heat. Amen. Amen? So catch it. What do you want to be? Just a little cracked pot? Or do you want to be fine china? Praise God. Amen. See, that's what God is doing in our lives. And as we go through the fire, as we go through the pressure, as we go through that shaving off of stuff that we really wish we could keep in our lives, we need to do it looking ahead to what the outcome is going to be. God is putting godly character into our lives. And as he does it, we're going to come out as pure gold. Isn't that great? Amen. I got on the internet yesterday. Somebody's name had just come to mind. There's a singer, Christian singer, by the name of Danny Bell. She used to sing with Andre Crouch. Anybody remember her? Well, she was on my mind, and I thought I'd just look and search the web and see, because I'd heard that she died. And I got the full story. I got her website. She had diabetes. Eventually, they amputated her leg. And finally, in December of 2000, she was on dialysis, kidney dialysis, and going through, you know, operations related to that. And she died. She passed away. But you know what I noticed? On her website, she was posting encouraging little notes every week, right up until the week she died. And people were responding to what a blessing she had been in their lives. It's almost still there on her website. And I thought about that, you know, from a human standpoint, it was kind of a tragedy. She would only have been about 62, I guess it was, at the time when she died. And you say, oh, what a tragedy. She had to go through so much pain and suffering and then finally to die, even though a lot of people were praying for her. But catch it. She showed through what was posted on her website that through all of that, God had developed a beautiful character in her. And that character was spilling over into other people. And even through the pain and suffering she was going through, people were giving testimony to how much they were blessed by her life. Now understand something. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 7. I want to show you an example of something. God is more concerned about how we handle an illness than about our healing. Oh, wow. What does that say? Isn't God concerned to heal us? Oh, yes, he is. God says, I am the Lord who what? Who heals you. That's how he identifies himself. Amen. He is our healer. What does he say in James? Go to the elders of the church. Be anointed with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. And what will happen? He'll raise you up. Amen. God is a God of healing, but understand, it is not his first priority. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Here's a promise. It's not on healing, but I want you to see the parallel here. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great promise? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. But catch this. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verses 43 through 48. I'm kind of smiling right now because this will be our last scripture for the day. I started off with this series last week and I realized, well, it's going to be a two-parter because I only got through the first part of my message. Well, guess what? It's going to be a three-parter now. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Catch it. In Proverbs 16, God makes a promise. When our ways please him, even our enemies will be at peace with us. Amen? But then, what's the context of that promise? He says what? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. What's he saying? Yes, there's the promise that he will deal with our enemies in such a way that they will no longer be our enemies. But what do we have to do? Godly character. Godly character with regard to our enemies. Catch it. As we deal with our enemies according to godly character, that opens the door for God to do with them what he wants to do. Do you catch it? How is it that he makes it that our enemies will no longer hate us? That they will be at peace with us? How does he do that? You know how he does it? As we deal with our enemies according to the love of God, according to the word of God, and instead of treating them the way we feel like treating them, instead of saying to them what we feel like saying to them, instead of having the expression on our face that we feel like having on our face, instead of rolling our eyes at them the way we feel like rolling our eyes, instead of all of that, when we love them, when we pray for them, when we bless them, when we do good to them, God says what? then I'll make your enemies be at peace. Now here's the principle. God has made all kinds of promises for us. Promises about prospering in life, promises about health, promises about relationships. Amen? But all of those promises will be brought to fruition as we walk in godliness in the midst of those circumstances. At the time when God calls on us to love our enemies and pray for them and bless them, guess what? They're still acting like our enemies. Isn't that right? They're still doing the stuff they always do, saying the stuff they always say, and God says, I want to develop godly, Christ-like character in you. So that instead of saying, God, call down fire from heaven and burn these people up, instead of that, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen? Amen? See, that's what he's trying to do in our lives. And so what does that mean? You're going to have to take some heat sometime. You're going to have to take some heat sometime. And not only just take the heat, not only just say, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, they leave me alone, I leave them alone. No, that's not what he said. What did he say? Pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them. What's that doing? Developing godly character. And as we allow that godly character to be developed in our lives, in the midst of the hard times and difficult circumstances that he allows us to go through, then as we are being changed by the development of godly character, that allows God to open the door to change the circumstances and take the heat off. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Praise God. So here's the bottom line today. You're going to have some hard times in your life. I don't want to prophesy over you today, but some of you are going to have to deal with some hard times before the week is out. Some difficult circumstances. Some situations that are not the way that you wish they were. And you know what the key is? How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond the way you feel like responding? Or are you going to allow God to bring forth the character of Christ in your life in the midst of your circumstance? When you face that situation that you're going to have to deal with this week or next week or whenever it is, you need to ask God, Lord, let me be like Christ. Help me to handle this the way Christ would handle it if he were here in my place. Help me to be a reflection of the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith that are in Jesus Christ. Help me to bring glory to your name in the way I handle my difficult circumstance. And as we do that, we will become a little bit more like him. And God will be able to bring us a little bit closer to the abundant life.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.